Just for the purposes of transcript, this is GNSO protection of IGO and NGO names, PDP working group on Monday, July 15th from 1500 to 1700 local time, Hall 4AB, led by Barry Cobb and Natalie. Thank you. This is an audio test, just testing to see if there is echo. For the Verizon operator. This is the one that the port numbers are all wrong. Test. Good thing for you. I just put in brand new mints. So you get fresh breath. I'm sure that you will appreciate that.
You can carry on, but she said it's fine.
Oh, okay. All right. Thanks. Done with the test now. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Yes. Yeah, I've got that. Yeah.
So you got kind of an agenda in front of you.
I've got what I need to do in terms of.
just have the GAC present. I don't want them to be upset that it's only IGO on there.
Oh, yeah. We'll go ahead and be starting in about 2 minutes. Thank you. You're also welcome to move up a few little bit as well.
All right. Well, at the very least, if you're part of the working group, please come in a little bit closer. I can't see that far.
We'll take the next flight and come over.
Okay, if you could go ahead and start the recording, please. Okay. All right, good afternoon, everyone. This is a meeting of the IGO-INGO PDP Working Group. My name is Brian Peck. I am with the ICANN policy staff and acting on behalf of Thomas Rickert, the chair for this group, who fortunately for us, cannot be here in Durban due to the birth of his new daughter. And so I will be acting as a chair for this particular meeting today. Go ahead and start by doing a roll call, taking attendance, and then we'll go through quickly the agenda that we planned for this afternoon and start our discussions. So maybe start here on my left, go this way here.
Elizabeth Finberg.
Chuck Gomes.
Sam Poultridge.
Burley Acosta.
Joe Teng.
Greg Shatton.
Rudy Vansnick.
Klaus Stoll.
Nap Thong.
Wanawit Akubutra.
Bitinan Ku Amon Patana.
Christopher Rassi.
Charlotte Lindsay.
Stefan Hankins.
Judd Botter.
Mary Wong, ICANN staff.
Barry Cobb, ICANN staff.
Alan Greenberg.
Great, thank you very much.
Brian?
Yes.
It'd really help, especially if people are speaking softly, get pretty close to the mic or we can't hear you.
And do we have any remote participants on? No. All right. Thank you.
Joy Lidicote is also present but stepped away for a moment. So.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much for that. All right. Are there any new or changes in statements of interest among the members of the working group? No. All right. Okay, for this afternoon's agenda, what we plan to do was to, for the benefit of the working group members who were not able to attend the session between the GAC and the board, which took place yesterday, there was a discussion on the issue of acronyms and the current GAC advice related to that issue. And so we'd like to briefly go through the slide that was provided by the board to the GAC as I say, a benefit for the group. And, of course, if there are any discussion about that, as we take that into account in our discussions and deliberations on that particular aspect of the mandate for this working group in terms of protection for IGO names and acronyms. The event will go through some housekeeping matters in terms of our next meeting. As you know, we are currently in the middle of our public comment forum for the initial report that has been published. The deadline for that public comment is actually this Wednesday at 23:59, and then the reply period will start the following day on the 18th of July, ending on the 7th of August. All right. So with that, we can go up to... So I think for the purposes of today, in the discussion that the board had with the GAC related to the GAC's advice on providing IGO or protection for IGO names and acronyms at the second level, and as you may know, that has been implemented temporarily in Specification 5 of the new registry agreements, of course, which have now been adopted by the board. In terms of further dialogue between the GAC and the board, basically, in its discussions with the GAC yesterday, requested that further dialogue be commenced, specifically in implementation on how to protect acronyms of IGOs. And as part of that discussion, the board proposed as a way to initiate discussions, or at least to form a basis of discussions, four possible alternatives to the current GAC advice, which is to protect or provide appropriate protection for the acronyms of IGOs. The first, as you can see up on the chart there, is to develop a reasonable means of dividing the list of acronyms, identifying some as appropriate for broad protections and others as not, require each IGO to identify a subset of the currently applied 4G TLD strings for which a designated acronym should be protected due to the related nature of the IGO's work to the applied 4 string. Third is to implement a notice of registration process similar to the trademark clearinghouse or for something else. So I think, you know, what came out of the discussions yesterday between the GAC and the board was that there was, you know, positive response to the need for additional dialogue or initial discussions to try to, again, address the issue of implementation of the GAC basic advice to provide appropriate protection for IGO acronyms. As you know, this is an issue that the working group has also been addressing, and some of the policy recommendation options that are currently in this report relate to that and provide, for example, a similar model to that of number 3 here from the board, which is some sort of clearinghouse model that would also provide a notification process. So if we wanted to bring the working group members up to date for those who, as I say, were not able to attend yesterday's meeting or were not aware of that, and, you know, certainly we can take this into consideration as the working group moves forward on its deliberations, and, of course, also taking into account what public comments we receive, in terms of providing what type of protection for acronyms of IGOs and or other international organizations. All right. Any questions, or does anyone want to raise a point of discussion? Chuck.
Thanks, Brian. Chuck Gomes. Is our exercise going to be modified to include this new, what I think is a new option of having a subset of the acronyms?
As you point out, that's not an option I think that the group had come up to this point. So certainly something that we could consider, as taking along into account other public comments we receive, both through the public comment forum, and then as we'll get into a minute here, the public discussion forum that we'll be having on Wednesday, soliciting community feedback, could be certainly something that we can take into consideration. Yes.
I was really thinking of Wednesday, not necessarily today, but yeah. Secondly, I think it would be helpful. This is Chuck again. It would be helpful if a message was sent out to the stakeholder groups and constituencies to give this information, because Obviously, the public comment period is ending Wednesday. It's going to be too late probably to address it in the public comment period. But it would be good if there's any time in stakeholder group and constituencies meetings tomorrow, if they could at least be made aware of this. They're probably going to have to take some time to respond, but maybe, you know, so maybe that can happen later.
Thank you, Chuck. Those are good suggestions. Appreciate it. Okay. Anyone else? Yes.
I would just second that, and this is Greg Chatton for the transcript. I think that it would be perhaps foolhardy of us to ignore the developing or GAC advice and not to try to find some way, if not to converge it, at least to take into account what's going on there and put it into our mix. It may not be what results from our deliberations and from a review of public comment, but I think that we need to bake it into our process. Otherwise, I think, you know, we run the chance of, if not being overtaken by events, at least having kind of a larger, almost a constitutional crisis, which we may end up having anyway, over the primacy of GAC advice, the adoption of GAC advice versus the adoption of GNSO policy recommendations when they're in direct conflict with each other. I'm not saying that we need to bow to GAC advice, but I think we need to think about, as we proceed every step of the way from now on, where we're going and how we're going to deal with the fact that the GAC advice is baking in the oven next to us and that there may not be room for two meals on the plate. Or we may replace old meal with a new meal, but there may be a lot of indigestion along the way. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg. Just a point of clarification, that the alternatives that are up on the chart there are actually alternative suggestions by the board. These aren't necessary GAC advice points at this point.
Thank you. I think we need then to be looking also at where the GAC advice is and figuring out where it is contradictory to or at odds with our, at least our spectrum of suggestions. If we're looking at the same spectrum, that's fine. We may come out in a different place, but we should be looking at what their spectrum is versus our spectrum and comparing those as well. Thank you.
No, thank you. And just to that point, if the current slide we just put up on the screen there, the current GAC advice from the Beijing communique is IGO names and acronyms warrant special protection in an expanded DNS. So that is the current advice. And the implementation issue is what is one that the board has come back and asking the GAC for further guidance. Well, you know, further clarification was the original request after the Beijing communique. In the dialogue that took place yesterday, you know, the board provided its interpretation of what it thinks the GAC advice means, expressing some of the concerns it had with in relation to acronyms. And then as a result of those concerns, again, raised some possible alternatives, with the basic request being that further dialogue be commenced to try to address the implementation issue of the GAC advice. And the GAC, you know, at least from those that were, you know, there yesterday, it seems to be positive in willing to engage in further dialogue with the board on finding a you know, reasonable means or alternative to deal with the protection of the acronyms. But as you point out, Greg, I mean, the current advice is to provide special protections for both names and acronyms.
Well, this is Greg again. I guess special protection could mean almost anything from slightly special to really special, and that's, I guess, where the implementation issue comes in. And I know that this working group and that even the GNSO generally does not have a place in the dialogue between the board and or the NGPC and the GAC on this item of GAC advice, but maybe we need to figure out a way to pull a third chair up at the table. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other points of discussion or questions or Alan?
I guess I'm not really looking for people to use their crystal ball, but I've always read the term special protections in the GAC communiques to be block, perhaps block allowing the organization itself to get, but not one of the far lesser protections that this work group has discussed. Am I badly misreading what we think they mean?
Well, I think, thank you, Jan. I mean, in terms of, I obviously I cannot speak on behalf of either the GAC or the board, but if you look at, you know, the current implementation of the GAC advice from the Beijing communique, is the resolution of the 2nd of July of the new GTLD program committee, where it basically provides special protections, as you pointed, basically a block of both, you know, from registration of IGO names and acronyms at the second level through specification 5 of the registry agreement. But that protection is only until the first meeting of the new GTLD program committee after the Durban meeting. And the reason for that, my understanding, is so that it would encourage that dialogue between the GAC and the board to try to find a means of implementing, you know, at least the protection of acronyms.
No, no, but I was asking not what the board is doing, but what do we think the GAC means? The wording they actually used was appropriate preventive initial protection. The word preventive sounds like blocking to me. So I've assumed that's what they're targeting, not a trademark claims notice.
Greg.
This is Greg Chatton. I've always assumed the same thing, whether there's room for interpretation through dialogue. But I think without a dialogue, that was what the GAC intended the wording to mean, which was a big fat block.
Okay. Well, we'll follow up on Chuck's suggestions in terms of raising these alternatives that were discussed yesterday between the two organizations, or, you know, the GAC and the board, and try to encourage stakeholder groups and constituencies to consider this and provide comment, you know, if not during the Wednesday session, then in through the subsequent reply period that's open until August 7th. So, oh, yes. Joy, I'm sorry.
Thanks, Joy Lidicote, for the record. Yes, just wondering, in light of the GENESO and GAC meeting yesterday, one of the suggested topics for future meetings, one of the suggestions about future meetings was that there be topics of discussion. And I'm just wondering if there's any way to circumvent iterative process of trying to work out what we think the GAC means and to cut through that in some way, perhaps by suggesting either an informal session with them or some kind of specific, you know, question in some informal way that might be able to be discussed with them as the working group, perhaps an invitation of the working group to brief the GAC, or, you know, to try and find some forum or way to open up a discussion about that so as to just circumvent a forever infinity mirror, trying to work out what was meant and then finding out subsequently we were wrong.
Thank you.
Rudy Vansnick. I would like to go back to the first slide when you listed up the four alternatives. Is there any priority on this list given by the GAC so that we know what they prefer themselves? Is there any indication of what would be the best solution for them so that at the end we know that if we work in another direction, it's going to take us a long way to get back to it?
Based on the discussions during the meeting yesterday, there's no prioritization or you know, favor one of the four, any of these four options. They were just listed as four suggested alternatives, you know, as a suggested basis, if you will, to further discussions on implementation possibilities. Sorry.
My understanding with these were, this was board suggestions. So, because Rudy was asking, does the GAC have any prioritization? These weren't suggested by the board, by the GAC. I believe these were assessed by the board as possible options of something in between what the GAC was asking and nothing.
Yes.
Possible options that the board considers might be viable.
That's right. Okay. So there was no prioritization either by the board or any indication from the GAC which of these four they would prefer.
Okay. Brian, Greg Chatton again. Just as a clarification, these alternatives, at least the first two alternatives deal only with acronyms and not with names. The third one doesn't specify whether it's for acronyms and names or only acronyms, and the fourth one just says something else, so that can mean anything. Was the board not providing alternatives with regard to names? Was the board agreeing that names should be blocked? Do we have a sense of what the board was thinking with regard to names based on these possible alternatives? Thank you.
When the GAC issued its communique and advice from the Beijing communique, the board's response and concerns was expressed. There were two. One was the scope of names in the future and languages. The other was, in terms of protection, was specifically to acronyms. And so in the discussion that took place yesterday, the main concern of the board expressed was that over or how to implement protection, special protections for acronyms. So you're right. I mean, in a sense, it's not specific in these particular alternatives, but the focus of the discussion for these alternatives, again, was the board's concern over how to implement special protection of acronyms. And the alternatives that were being raised were, again, to form the basis or to initiate discussions or dialogue on that particular aspect of it. If you look at the board resolution from the 2nd of July, in terms of providing protection, i.e., you know, a block of registration of names and acronyms, the temporary aspect of that only applies to acronyms. It does not apply to names.
Are we then to assume that the board has accepted the GAC advice with regard to blocking of names?
Again, I can't speak for the board, but if you look at what has been implemented to date and the board resolution, again, the temporary aspect only applies to acronyms, not to the names at this time. But that being said, too, if you look at the rationale of the board decision, you know, and especially when the board decided to extend special protection for IGO names, it specifically says that it acknowledges the GNSO PDP currently, you know, going on, and that it believes in general that such measures should be, you know, worked through the policy development process. So there is an acknowledgement by the board that, okay, these are our protections that we're putting in place, but also keeping in mind that there's an ongoing PDP, and that if indeed there might be additional or further actions required from any final policy recommendation, that's taken into account. Now, again, I'm only reading from the rationale and the decisions. I can't, you know, obviously speak on behalf of the board beyond what you can see and that's available to us. Alan.
Yeah, I know there are some philosophical disagreements, but I haven't heard many operational reasons from anyone, including in this group, why we could not protect the United Nations International Children's Emergency Fund as a name. And the same for most of the others. So, you know, I think if it came down push to shove, I don't think there's a huge dispute over those long, full names. Maybe there's one or two that might have some overlaps. I know the ALAC disagrees philosophically that they don't need protection at the first level, partly because no one's likely to register them, and if they do, there should be an objection process that can easily kill it. But if someone is determined to do it, go for it.
Chuck.
Thanks, Brian. Chuck Gomes. I know this isn't the time to talk about them, but I find it difficult to separate one and two. If you did two by itself, everybody would just ask for their acronym. There would have to be some criteria established, as implied in number one, that is fairly objective. Otherwise, it would be probably a waste of time. If you just give them the option, they're going to say, give it to me. So,
okay. All right, thank you. The other main part of today's agenda is to provide the working group a brief update on how we are going to structure the format for Wednesday's public forum discussion. And we have some outside facilitators here from X-Plane. For those of you who participated in the strategic planning session after the opening ceremony, you might be familiar or at least got a little bit of a taste of what we'll try to do on Wednesday, keeping in mind that the objective for Wednesday's session, which were agreed upon by the working group members, are twofold. One is to raise the awareness of the importance of this issue to the community, and two is to try to engage as much as possible an interactive session with the community to try to come up with some ideas or at least provide some further guidance on where the community is on this issue on the four core issue questions that we've identified. And so we're going to have representatives from Explain provide a brief explanation on how Wednesday's session will work, and then we will finish today's session actually with a exercise amongst ourselves with Explain in working over the four issues. One, to try to get some dialogue within the group on the four core issues questions. The other is to, in a sense, provide a dry run for Wednesday's session to make sure if you need any having concerns that need to be addressed prior to that session. Before doing that, though, I'm sorry, 1 minute break, and then I'll let you. Thanks. Before doing that, we have a couple of housekeeping items. One is, of course, scheduling our next meeting, and then also wanted to provide an opportunity for the group if they had any issues related to our work that they wanted to raise at this time before we break into this session. We would certainly allow members to do so. So before we go into the basic housekeeping administrative issues or matters, and then into the Explain portion of this meeting, are there any other issues or questions that members of the working group would like to raise at this time? Chuck.
I'd like to bring up the letter from the Red Cross, Red Crescent Society. So, Stefan, if you can help clarify some things. I know that the content of that letter, I believe, has been raised before. I don't think it's the first time. But there's a formal request now to add names at a point in the game where we were hoping we're getting ready to be closed and where GAC advice hasn't considered it and everything. Frankly, it's very frustrating when you work through a process over a long period of time and get close to, I hope, close to closure, and all of a sudden there's a major change. So maybe Stefan, and I'm not trying to put Stefan on the defensive either, but it'd be helpful maybe if you provide a little explanation here, or whoever wants to provide the explanation.
Hi, thank you. I'll take that one. So as I sent the letter to the GAC and to the board on behalf of the Director General of the ICSC and the Secretary General of the International Federation of Red Cross Red Crescent Societies. So my name is Charlotte Lindsay, and I'm the Director of Communication and Information Management for the ICRC in Geneva. So as you quite rightly pointed out, most of that information has already been contained in letters to the board that were sent over 2 years ago and a reminder letter that was sent a year ago to which we hadn't had a response. We've also raised a number of those issues in there on many occasions during these meetings from Costa Rica onwards. For us, we have never seen that the protection accorded to the names and terms Red Cross, Red Crescent are any different from those of the names of the organizations that carry them. So the protection of the term Red Cross or Red Crescent and then the American Red Cross or International Committee of the Red Cross, they carry those terms within them and therefore were afforded the protection. It was only during the last meeting that in Beijing that there seemed to be this question about whether there was the protection was actually accorded in the same way. And that was the first that we had heard, that maybe all the names were not being protected in the same way because it was just about the terms. And that's why we clarified in meetings directly and in this letter that we had clearly seen from the beginning in the submission of the names that the terms Red Cross, Red Crescent and other designations which are protected under international humanitarian law also cover the names. So there are two protections granted in international law to the names and terms. That is the protective use of the Red Cross and Red Crescent and the indicative use to cover any organization which has been recognized by the ICRC and is part of the movement of Red Cross and Red Crescent Societies. There are any time a new state is formed, recently South Sudan, there is a formal process of recognition that would happen for any national society, and to very strict criteria whereby the ICSC would then need to recognize them. And that has been done in the case of one or two national societies since this whole GAC process started. So if there are any new names that have been added to that list, it would be also either because there's a clarification necessary or because we considered it was covered or because there are new states formed since then of which there has been a recognition of their Red Cross or Red Crescent Society.
Okay. Alan?
Chuck has a follow-on, I think so.
Okay. Chuck?
Thanks, Alan, and thanks for the explanation. I guess where I'm more concerned, not the justification, I'm not looking for the justification, because you guys have laid that out pretty well, but one of the things the GAC provided in their advice was a very specific list of names. And apparently it didn't include all possibilities that you think should be included. Am I correct in that conclusion?
What we had clarified also in talking with some of the GAC members is they believed that it covered every name of a national society or component of the movement, the other two being the International Committee of the Red Cross or International Federation of Red Cross and Red Crescent Societies. But it was not necessarily explicit in that letter that was sent. So we have updated the list with all of the national societies which exist, which there is a finite list unless there is a national society recognized. So there is one in every state recognized, as well as the two international components.
Thank you.
Alan.
Yeah, as a follow-on to that, I'm just a little bit confused, but I'm not really want to make a debate how the wording in the applicant guidebook, which was published, could be construed as including all the national names, but that's my own confusion. The question I have is a very simple one. In the letter you give in Annex 2, I think, the full names of the national societies and the common names, but in the actual request you are only asking for the full names in both English and the official languages of the country, not the common names. Is that correct?
Yes.
No. So the listing of the common names was for information but not related to the request.
Yes, exactly. There may be, for example, the Red Cross Society of China, which it might be commonly known as the Chinese Red Cross, but it's registered as the Red Cross Society of China.
So you are not seeking in this request the common name to be protected?
No, what we're seeking is the protection of the term, so Red Cross, Red Crescent, and its application to the names. So the terms are protected and the names. So it should not be able to be used. Nobody else should be able to register as Chinese Red Cross either. But its correct name is the Red Cross Society of China, to give an example.
I don't think that is clear in the letter, other than being included in the strings contained request, which is a separate one.
Happy to look back at the letter on that one.
Greg.
Greg Shatton, a follow-up question to the ICRC. I'm having trouble reconciling the letter and this PDP process. As I read it, the letter makes a direct request to the board to take permanent action with regard to all of the strings requested, without any mention or consideration of this PDP process. Are you suggesting that, and I don't believe you've made all of the same submissions of all those names that were listed to this body. So are you suggesting that the board should then ignore this PDP process? Are you suggesting that either the letter should somehow be folded by us into this process? Are you ignoring this process? I'm having trouble reconciling. It seems like it's a parallel track and to some extent kind of an end run around this process. So can you help clarify that for me? Thank you.
Charlotte, please.
So we have on many, many occasions requested all the names of all of the components that carry the term Red Cross or Red Crescent within. As I say, there's a finite number of those, one in only per country, and that has to be recognized by the ICSC through a very clear statutory process. So it's not an easy feat to become a member to be recognized. So we have on many, many occasions requested that all of the organizations carrying that name is covered. We have not at all suggested that the board should override the PDP process. What we have said from the beginning and in letters that this is a question of international law, that we would follow the PDP process, but fundamentally this is a question of law, and that law is not normally subject to a policy process, so that we would follow this process that was put up through this multi-stakeholder model, but fundamentally underpinning this is a question of international law. And ICANN's articles of incorporation clearly state that it would follow international law.
So then you're suggesting that the board should override the PDP process because what you claim is international law, rather than work through this organization's PDP process to try to achieve that result through the laws and organizational structures of this organization.
And on this one, there are, with many meetings that we've held in all of the various ICANN sessions, we've tried to follow every single route possible to ensure the appropriate recognition of the protection accorded to the Red Cross and Red Crescent names and designations. We have done that through every process that anyone has asked us to, including engaging directly with the board from the beginning. And there we have also, it's been highlighted by the members of the board that they appreciate that we have also worked directly through all of the various PDP processes. So the letter that we sent last week was a confirmation of a letter that we'd already previously sent to the board.
I still don't feel like you've answered my question of how you see this playing out between this PDP process, which could come up with a variety of results, which may or may not be consistent with your letter, and the letter to the board, and whether you're kind of giving kind of due respect to this PDP process. I don't know why the letter wasn't sent to this, you know, submitted into the PDP process rather than submitted to the board with almost complete lack of recognition of the PDP process.
Charlotte, if I may just ask as a point of clarification, I believe through the public comment that was submitted in the current public comment forum that the request was also included in that particular submission, or at least the scope of the additional names were included in that, and it was done through this public comment forum process.
Absolutely, yeah, okay. And signed by 55 national societies. We've submitted it through the PDP process too.
Okay. All right, well, I think we have, you know, evidence of submission through both the process and other avenues. You know, I understand the concerns that are being expressed here, but I think, you know, the points have been made at this point, so we can move on to another issue, I think. Okay. Last point of business before we get to explain, and thank you for their patience, is a housekeeping matter, and that is the scheduling of the next meeting of the working group. As I mentioned, the current public comment forum reply period closes on August 7th. We are considering tentatively scheduling the next meeting on Wednesday, the 31st of July. Next Wednesday, of course, most people are getting back from Durban and getting back, catching up on other matters. We'd like to tentatively schedule it for the 31st of July, pending to see how many public comments there are to review. If there aren't that many and we're still waiting for the reply period, perhaps then we might agree to postpone it. But we will go ahead and send out a notice for tentatively scheduling the next session of this working group deliberations on the 31st of July, during which time we would start considering or reviewing public comments that have been received. And also, by that time, we will compile the feedback that we get from the community from Wednesday's public discussion session here in Durban. So unless there's any objections to that particular scheduled date, the time would be the normal time at 1600 UTC. And again, we'll certainly send out notifications beforehand. Okay. All right, with that, I'd like to bring up the representatives from Explain. And as I mentioned, they are going to briefly explain the format for Wednesday's public discussion session and lead us through a discussion of these issues amongst ourselves here, again, to solicit some further views on the issues that are before us and, again, for our sake, to help provide kind of a dry run for Wednesday's session. So appreciate your participation. Thank you. And Mr. David King from Explain.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Thanks for having us. I just want to briefly introduce my colleagues behind me, Patrick and Rule, next to him. And we'll be working together to help through this process. So over, I think, about the last 2 weeks, we've exchanged calls and emails and various things to do, go through a planning process. And I'm going to walk through the presentation. Is that fair? Yes. Okay, good. So, and forgive me, I'm going to read just a little bit. But this is our outline of what we plan to do and how we reached consensus on this. So the purpose of the public session on coming up. So first is to raise awareness on why these issues are important, and to provide transparency in the working group's deliberations and positions to date. So kind of level set and create awareness and understanding. Then the active part is to facilitate an interactive discussion to solicit new ideas, new perspectives, and see what the public, get their feedback on the ideas, as well as see if they have any new ideas for how these challenges are being approached. So by way of agenda, we have a very limited amount of time, but we'll start with just, you know, getting the room settled down and brief welcome and introductions, a 15-minute period of description of the activities, what we plan to do, a presentation of the topics themselves and the propositions against each topic so that everyone in the room has a basic understanding. And then we're going to conduct what we describe as a gallery walk kind of exercise, where the four topics, A, B, C, and D, will be set up, and we've actually kind of got prototypes or models of this behind you here on the wall, or on the easels over here, so A, B, C, and D. And you can imagine the room moving in groups from across the different positions. So what we'll do is kind of load balance the room. Anybody who wants to participate, spread out into groups, and they'll get 12 minutes at each position to provide their thoughts. And it's difficult to see at this distance, but as we get up there, you'll see there's the topic itself, the overarching question, and then with the propositions that are there, and then do what we describe as a post-up exercise. They can provide their thoughts and have conversations with the people around them to give their input into those things. And so we'll do 12 minutes, four cycles of 12 minutes. And then we can talk about the end. One, there are different ways to wrap things up. We can either do a readout to the whole room of some of the topics and some of the suggestions that were made, or we can just allow for more time in conversation and not do a readout at the end. There's a few different ways to play out the scenario. Would you mind toggling ahead one? I just want to talk about a bit about the nuance, and the text gets a little hard to read here, but you can see the graphic at the bottom of different groups moving across topics A, B, and C, and D. Part of the exercise is to position at each easel two people who will stay there. They won't rotate. And the two people will be one of us from Explain to serve as facilitators, and we've drawn somebody else from the community who's going to help, who has been through some of our exercises in the past, so they'll have an understanding of how to interact with a group when they're there. So there'll be a facilitator at each easel, and then we also recommended having a subject matter expert there, somebody who can speak to the topic and the propositions so that folks who are newer possibly to policy, somebody newer coming into the meeting, they can get ask questions and have answers immediately from somebody who really understands the information. So that's the basic plan. It's not terribly complicated. It's designed to create conversation, to surface new ideas, to go about I'm suffering a little from jet lag, to engage the community in a conversation. So that's what it's designed for.
Thank you very much.
Okay. The general, unless there are any questions.
Yes.
Yes, I've got a question. What was wrong when we were sitting around in a room and talking to each other?
Nothing. This is mainly an exercise to facilitate an interactive session with the community on Wednesday. One of the objectives, again, that was agreed upon by the working group was to try to engage the community to solicit feedback, as you know, to provide maybe perhaps some new ideas or fresh approaches, but to try to make it as interactive as possible. And you know, sometimes just because of the physical layout of how these rooms are set up at these international meetings, sometimes it's difficult to facilitate that kind of open-ended discussion or you know greater interactive engagement with community members and members of the working group. And so this format is designed only for the purpose of trying to engage the community members that normally aren't part of the process in a more you know enhanced manner. This is not an indication of any way of you know frustration or a sense of a failure of how the working group works. It's mainly as a way to facilitate greater discussion and engagement with the community members on the public discussion forum on Wednesday. Chuck.
Thanks, Chuck Gomes. Could you move back to the previous slide on the timeline slide, I guess is the one I wanted, yeah. In that 15 minutes, are the questions, all questions going to be discussed then? And hopefully enough clarity. Okay, good. I wanted to make sure of that because it'd be real easy to get to the flip charts and spend 12 minutes on understanding the questions. Okay, so that's really good. Second thing is, what is the output that we want to get out of this and how will that be captured?
So the output will be a collection of the ideas and conversation. Any insights or any questions they might have will be applied directly to the posters themselves, and they'll be done via Post-it note, frankly. Post-it note, a very analog process, but it has the benefit, the added benefit of being very modular. We can move and affinity map Post-its together and collect them. So ultimately, the output would be high-resolution photos of the verbatim feedback, as well as they can be collected and typed up and provided either to the community or just the working group itself.
So, yeah, I think it would be, this is Chuck again, it'd be good to provide it to the working group. I mean, it's okay to provide it to the community too, but hopefully it'll be most useful to us. So that's very good. I'm optimistic that this might work. It depends how many people show up, I guess. I'm supportive of giving it a shot. I'll be honest with you. I didn't think it worked very well on the strategic plan this morning. It's too high level a topic, and the time was much too short. Now, this is short time, too, but if our questions are brief enough, it might work as long as the facilitators at each place make sure that they give everybody a chance to weigh in, because 12 minutes is still really short. An exercise like this, ideally, would require a lot more time, and you know that better than I do. But if it's managed properly and it's clear before they get to the stations, I think it could provide some good input.
Thank you, Chuck. And as you point out, I mean, that 15 minutes is to provide kind of a scene setter to go through the four topic issue questions and the relevant propositions. And let me just quickly show you what they are. And again, these were determined by previous discussions of the working group. We have four topic questions, issues, if you will. The first one is, should the identifiers of IGOs and IGOs, INGOs be protected at the top or second level, with the four different options? Topic B is, if protections are provided through a reserve names list, should there be an exception process to allow the relevant organization and a legitimate right holder to register the identifier in the top or second level? And again, with the exceptions that are currently, the two exception options that are being provided in the initial report. Topic C is, should organization acronyms be protected at the top or second level? And we will add, I think, the one that was, yes, we'll add that. And I'll work with you on that. So. And topic D, what should be the objective set of criteria to determine whether an organization should receive special protections? Again, working off the matrix that we have in the initial report. We will also have printed copies of the exception options and the matrix options available at each of the stations so that people have access to the actual language on that. So we're hoping by providing the background at the introduction and having both facilitators and subject matter experts at each station, having these materials there, that it will help you know people to be able to you know get into the substance of discussions as much as possible. And we think one advantage of this particular format as well is it gives equal time, if you will, to all four issues and among all four groups that, that participate. So, Mary.
And if I might add to that, going back to Chuck's point about the limited time problem and Klaus's, who's no longer here, earlier point about how is this different. I think the idea, too, is that on Wednesday, and again, depending on how many people show up, but we expect that there's going to be more than just a working group there, that on Wednesday, priority and precedence, I should say, would be given to non-working group members because the working group has had adequate opportunity to talk through a lot of this.
Okay. Yeah, and to the question of would we have enough time, you know, we've built into the schedule 20 minutes at the end to go around and read out ideas that were discussed. If the information is most valuable to the working group, I would recommend taking that 20 minutes and dividing it among the four station rotation so that there's more time for people to spend at each station to provide their feedback and really have a quality conversation there as opposed to reading it out at the end of the room. But that's I leave that up to you.
Okay. Are there any questions about the format or how we plan to conduct the session on Wednesday? Or yes, Chuck.
Chuck, again, just want to respond to that because that might be a very good idea. I guess we can judge that. I say we. I probably won't be able to be there because I have the finance session going on. But if the stations are really looking like they need more time, all of them. If just one of them does, it probably doesn't work. But that wouldn't be bad as long as we're capturing the input we're getting. That's what we really want out of this. It's nice to have a summary, but the more important thing in my mind is for us to get the input from the exercise.
Okay, thank you. As I mentioned, what we'd like to do, we have 1 hour scheduled for this session. So unless there's any other business for the working group, we would like to, we hope that all of you will be willing to stay and participate in going through this exercise, again, to spur discussion amongst ourselves and also provide a dry run to see if there's anything we need to adjust or tweak for the purposes of Wednesday. And we'll let Dave and his team take us from this point forward. And so last call for any other business for the working group itself. Okay, for those who are participating remotely, we are breaking up into groups, and so basically there will not be any audio or anything really going on that you can hear over line. I think the purpose or the idea is we'll have to spend a little bit of time on the breakout sessions and then do kind of a summary at the end. So you're certainly welcome to stay who are on remotely to hear any sort of summation or results of the discussions here. But just to give you a heads up at this point forward, there won't be any audio or substantive discussions taking place, unless you're here in the room. So, all right. So, Dave, go ahead.
Great. So, effectively, what we want to do this afternoon is run kind of a beta as to fragile sounding of description of it. We want to run the exercise here with you. I know you have discussed these points already, and many of you already have your clear points of view about the different propositions against the different topics. So this will be a little different than when we have people who are coming to the table fresh, with fresh perspective on, for hearing these topics and hearing the propositions for the first time. So if we could, let's see, I think we've got about 5, 6, 7. Yeah, let's form three groups. Thank you for reminding me, actually. For the purposes of this afternoon's exercise, we're going to contain it to the working group, members of the working group participation. So to our friends who are here observing the meeting and listening, please come back on Wednesday for the full public participation, but for just this afternoon, we're going to keep it just to the working group. So let's, Rule and Patrick are ready. I'm going to go over to one of the stations. Let's break up into three different groups. Rule, do you have a question? Okay. Four groups of five?
Just for the record, I'm leaving in a few minutes, so don't count me.
Okay. Go ahead, Chuck.
Yeah, Chuck again. And again, I hope they won't be set up like this in the session, assuming we have a room like this, because one of the problems this morning, there was lots of interference. Groups were too close together, and so you should have two at opposite ends on each side, and that also makes it easier to rotate. So just a practical matter.
Yep, agreed. Yeah, I think we're in the
actually in the same room that was in the
yeah, we're in the we're in hall six. We're in the big room, so agreed. Yep. Yeah, and in fact, maybe we can spread these out just a little bit just for that purpose. But let's go ahead and split up into groups of, well, I guess it'll be about four or five people per, and let's approach the easel, and we'll talk it through from there.